Welcome to One Decent Pastor, a weekly podcast of The Door located in Central Oregon, where three completely average guys join forces to make one decent pastor and to discuss, discover, and promote all things Bible.
Minutes of banter.
Yeah, well, again, now we're live.
And we're live.
Do you know how I know there's 9 to 10 minutes?
Because
no, I don't want to know.
Because you skip the banter. Minutes.
This is me skipping at 45 seconds.
Wow. A push.
Why are you even on the podcast then if you skip the banter?
Dude, I'm trying to fix it.
Welcome back.
It doesn't need to
Jordan?
Be fixed.
We got Jordan back on the podcast.
Yeah, I need an intro. I've never been on this podcast. Do you know that?
You have.
No. Have I been on ODP? I don't think so.
Yeah, for sure.
Table talk.
Have you ever sat at this table? This exact table.
Put like this?
Yeah,
since no, we've had even it the other way. When it was turned the other way.
I don't think I've ever been on it.
Yeah, you have.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to Table Talk.
Yeah. Everybody knows who
AKA
I am. Our
ODP,
tens of listeners.
And by the friends of seven.
Okay, well, what was the little game show ditty you were humming earlier?
I don't want to hum on the podcast.
No, yeah, I just want to know what it was because it was totally familiar.
It was a
what is it?
Yeah,
it's I don't know. There's these little memes I watch where somebody will, it'll be a picture of somebody and then people start making comments about the person and they're not very kind, but they're funny. And it plays that theme song. And so I think I watched one of those this morning, perhaps during my devotions. Preparation for ODP.
Dude, that's
morning prayer.
That's the dating game.
Is that what it
maybe.
Is?
Maybe.
That's the old dating game.
Oh, man.
I
remember the dating game.
It's something like that.
Yeah, look it up.
Anyway, we can figure it out later, probably, unless somebody knows, but I'm not going to
kill you. It's not going to kill me. Like, it's not going to hijack my day.
It is firmly in my head, and it has been for a while. So
it was weird to hear you humming.
Someone's in their car right now listening to this 2 years down the road, screaming the name of whatever song
it's
is
the
from.
Game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be surprised if somebody knows the name of the song, but it's probably, it went to a game show or something.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I did this morning for my devotions?
I'm afraid.
I've been watching these baby AI, movie scenes.
No,
AI babies.
No.
Oh yeah.
Don't encourage.
Some of them are pretty good.
They're terrible. They're evil. I can't stand.
So
it's
just like
evil.
The new.
Yeah, I hate AI. I just don't like it when I see those. He sent us one of the
it
Princess
is nightmare
Bride
fuel.
With babies, and I can't.
So I think soon we're gonna do an ODP on AI. I think we're going to talk about all things AI and what to think about it.
It kind of unnerves me and creeps me out. And I'm not kidding. I don't know why.
These clips are like movies that like we would have watched growing up. At least the ones I've seen.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I saw one this morning that was a scene from Full Metal Jacket. So like Arlie Emery as a drill sergeant just drilling somebody, but it was an AI baby.
Yeah.
It is entertaining, but there's something unsettling about
Super it. Super unsettling.
I'm glad that
it
I haven't
like
seen
like the
these.
Lowest form of
oh, man, I
got to
see a couple later.
Yeah.
No, don't. What have you been up to, Jordan? You been to any Thousand Trails lately, getting yelled at by weird people?
No one will know what that means.
I know. That's why I'm asking.
Been traveling to RV parks, getting verbally abused
by
their staff.
Thank you. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. No. Having a good time.
Well, I hope we're not one of the RV parks you're talking about.
No.
Did Bill yell at you or something?
No. No, I went to 1,000 Trails on the coast and was out walking around, nice leisurely walk, and I saw like an employees only area, but I was trying to cut through to get to the lounge.
Oh, so you did see the sign.
I did see the sign.
Okay, that changes the story.
That's on you,
what's
then?
That song, Brent? I saw the
sign, everywhere a sign.
Yeah.
Different one?
You're thinking of Ace of Base.
I don't know the names because I wasn't born yet, but yeah.
Wow.
Sorry. So I'm out walking, and I'm like, oh, it's like an employee area. I just figured that meant don't take your 40-foot trailer through there. And instead, a lady's outside with her dog and starts barking and starts, like, yelling at me, basically. And I kept it cool. I was very calm.
Yeah.
And then after maybe, like, a minute or two of her yelling random things at me, I just kind of turned around and walked off.
Huh.
You I was wearing a door shirt, actually.
A door shirt.
A very faded one.
And then you put, like, 10 pesos in her hand and said, it's okay, sweetie. Darling.
No.
So you took the high road.
I did.
Good for you.
I didn't want to be 86 from the park or 1,000 Trails. Yeah. I'm always afraid.
It's actually a nice one, the one in Florence. Oops.
Yeah.
It's a nice
one.
Sorry.
You're not supposed to say Florence?
No, it's top secret. What if they listen? What if one of our tens of listeners
that chick is listening right
yeah.
now?
Yeah. Anyway,
oh, I got you.
My slate is clean, though. Anyway, I handled it well. Just turned like a Christian. And walked
good job,
away.
Man.
Neutral? I was neutral that day. We're
going to
talk about
neutral.
Did you walk
in the spirit and not the flesh?
I turned around and walked away segment? While she was yelling at me.
I think
so
if
it
you
was
were
like,
walking in the spirit, you would have went around the employee area. Just saying.
I did after because she was very clear with her instructions. Right. She screamed at me as I walked away.
Yeah, we're going to talk about trespassing today, too.
Are we?
Different I don't know. Isn't that part of the text?
Yeah.
Different, but
you
the same.
You guys read the text?
No. Well, some of us did.
Well, we have it memorized. I mean,
one of us is actually, this is our sermon that we're working on.
Yeah.
One of us didn't pay any attention at all to it when he was told.
AI videos.
He didn't send it till 6 o'clock last night.
And the other of us is just
I didn't even really
prepared.
Send it. I just sent like enough to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Put this on me.
Anyway.
It's going to be fine.
Well, according to your clock, we have 3 minutes still to go in the banter.
Yeah. We're at 6 now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say jump into it.
What'd you call this, Jan?
We called it our flesh, the world, and the devil.
Mm.
Our flesh or the flesh?
Our. Well, you said our flesh.
I said our, but like it can be changed.
We can edit
for
it later.
A fee.
I know how to do it, so no fee needed. Okay. But go ahead.
If you do, there's an old episode that says apologetic spelled wrong we need to address.
Oh.
And it was spelled right the 4 episodes before, so I noticed it.
Okay.
Yeah. As I was scrolling to see if I was ever on the podcast before.
All right, that's probably on me if there's a spelling error in the title. I'll own it.
Yeah, it's you, Chad.
It is.
No doubt.
All right.
All right, let's go.
Yep.
All right. So I talked. What are you leaning over looking at my notes, bro?
Comparing notes.
Normally we have notes printed out.
I like
can
that.
I see your Bible?
A lot of times people send
that's
us
a nice
stuff
Bible, dude. Beforehand. You got to get this in calfskin, though.
Okay.
All right.
What do you do about people who aren't watching the video and they don't get the jokes?
More people watch it than listen, so we just kind of give them a break.
You're okay. Such a Lutheran.
Everyone else has a Bible in front of them. I have Martin Luther's Large Catechism, which
Bible
is the one that's ignored the most.
It's pretty much the Bible.
That's pretty small for something
if
that's called
a
Large Catechism. I'm just saying.
We'll talk about it. All right. So today our topic is our flesh. You keep getting called, Chad. It's
I know. It's the same person that's called twice. That makes me kind of nervous. Like maybe there's an emergency that
we're not doing
I'm
anything.
Ignore
do you
for another
take
50
the,
minutes.
Just take the call and put them on speaker. And
yeah, it could just be part of the banter. Yeah. If you want to just put it on speaker.
Yeah, I recognize that number, and you don't want it on speaker. So.
Interesting. It's his wife.
Oh my
God. Dang, Jill.
All right. Our topic for today is the three sources of temptation and evil for the Christian: our flesh, the world, and the devil. I chose this topic because I was hanging out with a Christian brother a few weeks or months ago, and I noticed as this, we were kind of talking about the Christian life and everything, he would often say, he would say that he was being oppressed, or that the devil is attacking his family, or that like bad things were happening because the devil or oppression, and really emphasize kind of that spiritual world aspect, which is of course like a legit thing. It exists, and we'll get into that. But I kind of like heard that over and over and over again. It made me think about where do bad things come from? Where does temptation come from? And where does sin come from that's in our lives? And then how do we as Christians kind of like understand and maybe balance a little bit those sources so that we can resist and be on guard in this life. So that's kind of where it came from. And I kind of did a deep dive personally into kind of those three sources. And I found in Ephesians 2, right at the beginning, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, Paul actually addresses all three of these in one neat little proof text, if you will. Does anyone want to read Ephesians 2, 1 through 3?
I will.
Go ahead.
And you were dead in the trespasses. Get it? And sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind.
What's the difference between trespasses and sins? That's a bonus question. just for David, maybe.
Well, trespassing is when you go somewhere you're not supposed to go.
There's a clear sign.
Like, say there's a sign that says,
yeah, that says don't go here. And then you go there.
Yeah.
Wow. And then sin is what you do after they call you on it.
Yeah. So this is a relational version of that.
Awesome.
Yes.
All right.
Glad we cleared that up.
Yeah.
I'd like to take kind of each one of these kind of on their own, the flesh, the world, and the devil, starting with the flesh. What does Paul mean that we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind? What does that mean? What does he mean by flesh, essentially?
I would say fallen nature. So I wouldn't say
this.
There
you go.
But I would say what goes on inside of this by nature, which is fallen. Fallen nature.
Yeah, I think the terms that we've, you know, the different versions use, sometimes it's the sin nature, the flesh, the old man, I think is a King James version, you know, kind of a topic. But basically what we are prior to being quickened by the Spirit or regenerated or born from above or whatever you want to call that.
So what we are apart natural, from God.
Yeah, natural state of man because of the fall.
Yeah, that's a good distinction, because in these verses, Paul's setting up basically the rest of the chapter, the next section, but he's describing the unregenerate man before Christ does something in our lives. So basically, fallen nature. How did our flesh become a source of temptation? How did that happen? Was it created that way?
Well, the fall. So basically,
we've inherited it.
Adam and Ian. Wow.
Auntie
Adam and
him? Auntie M. Sophia, Wizard of Oz. No. Adam and Eve made a choice, but that choice affected the rest of creation. So now, we're sinners by nature and sinners by choice. So it's kind of a double whammy on the flesh.
Early chapters of Romans. Paul unpacks it pretty good.
Yeah.
As far as where it came from, why it's here. Yeah.
Yeah, passed down generation to generation. Yeah. What does it look like when we say the temptations of the flesh? What does that look like practically?
There are all kinds of temptations. Like, I don't know that we could make an exhaustive list of all the temptations, but there are things that that gratify our flesh, and the things that gratify my flesh might not be the same things that gratify your flesh, but they're things that that we indulge in because we get some kind of satisfaction from indulging in these things, whatever they may be, rather than, you know, like the Bible talks about that we can gratify the flesh or we can gratify the spirit. And maybe the conundrum for the Christian is that it's both, right? That you know, we're still sinners and simultaneously saints, right? And so we have this battle of, you know, am I going to feed the flesh or am I going to feed the spirit? That might be more than you asked for. But
Which dog are you going to feed?
Right.
I think there's a sense in which when the fall happened, we turned away from God and turned into self. And so when I think of just my nature now, it's selfish. It's turned in. It's turned away from God and turned in. And so I put myself on the throne and I try to please me. You know, that's what the flesh does. It has no regard for God and what he wants. It only has regard for what we want. And we're willing to kind of do whatever comes to mind or whatever we think would, you know, it's misplaced worship or misplaced devotion or whatever. It's completely broken and wrong, but that's our nature now, is turned in and away from God.
Yeah, verse 3 says, in the ESV says, carrying out the desires. I think that word's like super important, that there's certain desires that are there as a result of the flesh or the result of a fallen nature, of both the body and the mind. Mm-hmm. And basically your desire is what drives you as a human being. It is what dictates what you do, where you go, how you do it, why you do it, right? It's kind of, it's the thing behind everything that you do. Desires. So, what was the question again?
What have we gotten way off here? No. It's just a conversation starter. But what are some of those desires, right? When I think of the flesh, everything you guys said, and I think of, like, basically, it's a term that kind of talks about what comes from the inside of us, basically. As fallen people, we don't need help to come up with schemes and, you know, deviancies.
Right.
Is that a word? Don't put it in the title. Yeah, that's probably not a word.
But we know what you mean.
Social deviant. So,
just, we don't need help creating evil, essentially. It's in us. We're depraved. Sure. And what comes out of us, apart from Christ, apart from the new life that he gives us, isn't good. Our desires of the flesh want to be satisfied, essentially. Well,
it's part of the indictment in Romans. I can't remember if it's at the end of one or the beginning of two, but it kind of gives this long list of just all the bad things about humanity. And then it says, like, we're also inventors of evil.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a scathing indictment.
Yeah.
We're just making up evil as we go.
Yeah. I think Calvin, not Luther. said that the human heart's an idol factory.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is why we need rebirth and not behavior modification. It's because what the problem is exists deep. It exists within, not outside of us. Although there's also
there is outside influence.
We're going to get to the world. We're going to get to culprit number two, which takes care of that one. But the problem's inside of us, so we need to be born again. We don't need to try harder to be better, because those desires cannot be changed by a choice or a decision, right?
Yeah.
We're bound.
We can't escape them.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
We can't will... using our will, we can't overcome them,
no.
Essentially.
Yeah, so you can look good and you can do the right thing, but still be completely wrong on the inside, like you're actually fighting yourself.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is kind of one of the interesting things about the flesh is that, it's at work. Even in some of the good we do, that people will look at us and say, oh, this is so good. You did such a good job with this. Like, one, sometimes my motivations might have been pure in that good thing, but it almost sometimes, as soon as I hear that praise, I begin to, it feeds something, some ego or some pride or something inside myself. Which is fascinating, just how through and through, we are.
Deviances. Right? Yep. So the Bible kind of puts it in the categories of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so even like what you were just describing, that's the pride of life thing, where we have this need to feed our ego and to make ourselves feel good or better than the other person or whatever. The lust of the flesh, that can be... eating too much, and it can be, looking at things you shouldn't be looking at or thinking of people inappropriately and things like that.
But if it's the devil's fault, then it's okay.
That's true. That's what I've, that's how I just
devil made me do it, bro.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, when I think about those categories, it's kind of helpful because, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
That kind of covers it all.
It's what, covers what the problem with, the question you asked as far as, what is the flesh desire? It's those things.
Yeah.
And that money, fame, riches, status, on and on and on it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just interesting how, I almost have, there's like the who I am in my own head, which sometimes is a very aware of my flesh and the sinful desires I have, the desires of flesh I want to act out. And then sometimes there's times where I've kind of compartmentalized that. And I try to, I almost don't, like, I'm blind sometimes to my own sin and my own flesh, and that pull in my nature to glorify myself, essentially, and to be, worshipped at the end of the day. It sounds insane to say outside, but a lot of outside. We're very much inside.
Yeah. No, that's the brokenness, though, is we should want to make God famous. We should want to glorify him. And because of the fall and who we are now, we want the glory.
We're all about us, which does bring us to the third character, which we'll get to. But that's how it all started, right? Mm-hmm. Like from the information we have, the fall originally occurred with him as a result of wanting to elevate himself and be about him rather than be about God. You know what I mean?
Yeah, God knows you'll be like God.
Yeah, and then he transferred that to us by us buying his bill of goods.
So. I think it's important for people to understand, you desire sin.
Yeah.
Right? If we didn't desire it, we wouldn't engage in it, at least if we didn't desire it to some level, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a battle, and some days you fare well in the battle, and some days maybe not so much, but there is a desire there. Like, scratches an itch to engage in sin.
Yeah, right? There's an actual appeal.
Yeah.
But again, it leads to death.
Right.
And that's the promise of sin, is it promises you something that it can't deliver on. Mm-hmm. And so you were stupid enough to take the bait and run down that road again and think, maybe this time it'll do something.
Right.
And it doesn't.
It's interesting the way that James puts it in James 3. Like, he puts this slightly different, But obviously there were people in that church that he's writing to that were kind of, there were factions, you know, of various factions going on. He says in chapter 3, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, so that this is self stuff, self-seeking stuff, those things that are naturally there, and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. So there we have the walk in the spirit or the whole spirit component. But this is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, right? And it's funny to think, you know, when the Bible talks, uses that word, you know, it's not talking about ghosts and goblins and, you know, the spirit realm being demonic. It's often that which is natural to us, that which comes out of us, that's already residing in our hearts, and then yielding to that or walking in that is actually demonic, like self-promoting and being all about you, which then voids your ability to walk in the spirit, which is all about others, right? That's where God is. That's what's from above. So
Jesus could tell the Pharisees, you're like your father, the devil.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You're acting just like him.
Yeah. And they're like, demonic. We're not witches.
You're being demonic.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. James would second that.
Yeah. We'll get into this a little bit more with some of the questions coming up, but just how much if you're without Christ, if you're not in Christ, you're under the dominion. Like, you have a Lord, which is inescapable in these verses.
So that's where I'm going when I deal with this text this week, is I'm not going to go into really what we're doing, but it's that we're always affiliated.
Yes.
None of us are non-affiliated, right? And he's going to make that really clear.
There's no registered independence in the kingdom?
There's no, you can't register independent. No, you're connected, you're bound. You have an allegiance.
I'm the only one that remains unaffiliated. Are you thinking of a brother where
I'm? That's exactly what I'm thinking of, yes.
Well, isn't this a small world, spiritually speaking?
Yeah.
So-and-so just sold his soul to the devil.
Yeah, that's good.
Thomas just sold his soul to the devil.
And so-and-so just got saved.
Delmar just got saved. Delmar.
Sorry. That's funny. Apologize.
Hey, continue.
We could play the clip. That would be even better. But
dude, that'd be. We should go back and edit.
Chad's got the computer. You can do the baby AI version. Probably.
No, there probably is a baby AI version.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Heck yeah.
No, it makes me. It's hard to even move on without thinking of like Romans 7, where Paul talks about just famously the struggle with the flesh.
Right.
Things I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, I do. Just that battle. Well, depending on, let's not get into it, but regenerate versus unregenerate.
Right.
But just, we've all experienced that struggle with the flesh. We mentioned this a little bit, but I do want to highlight, how can this truth about our flesh be kind of misunderstood or maybe taken too far sometimes? Or mistaught? Have you ever heard? Is that too vague?
What truth?
Yeah.
What truth about our flesh? Maybe explain that.
The truth that...
That it's bad?
That it's fallen, that we have a fallen nature in us. Like, sometimes, can that be taught in a way? Have you ever seen that taught?
Well, I know that the idea of total depravity is like, it's offensive to me. Like, what are you saying about me exactly?
Right. This is definitely talking about total depravity.
Yeah, we want to think of ourselves as pretty good. And total depravity doesn't mean that you're as bad as you possibly could be. I mean, because we think of these people in history, you know, it's like, well, I'm not Attila the Hun or whatever. And it's like, well... Right, but when I really think about what I'm like and what my heart's like and how selfish I am and stuff like that, especially BC, before Christ, it was gnarly.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Sorry, just making sure we knew. And so there's that tendency to want to pretend like we're not really that bad.
Right.
Most people don't want to think of themselves as that bad. Even like the Ray Comfort videos when he goes out and asks people, you know, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then they start asking him, are you a good person? Of course. And then he drills down and finds out they're not at all. But
well, and that's why this has to be the first chain in the domino of your of your soteriology or how one is saved. Is how you understand yourself.
Yeah, you get to the right starting point.
Because that's gonna determine the other dominoes that are stacked behind it and how they're stacked. Like, if you're not that bad, then that changes a lot of things as far as how salvation comes about.
And then even the stuff that we do recognize as bad, we say that's not our fault. That's a result of something else. It's not me. I'm good. So something external has caused this, and so we play it off that way too.
Well, I think there's a lot of teaching in the church that would say, like, you're basically good. Here's how you can be a little bit better.
Yeah.
Right. And those are the books that fly off the shelves.
So this is more
it's a heretical teaching,
and that's more where I'm gonna put my focus in this text is on the word dead at the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? That leads
Does like, dead mean dead?
Yeah.
Well, it's mostly dead.
Yeah. Kind of dead.
Man, the movie quotes are strong today.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, I wasn't even thinking that, but that's better than what I was thinking of. No, that's definitely the tendency I would say here, in the church. Hey, thanks for you guys' help. Definitely the tendency in the church today is actually make too little of this truth, essentially. Whereas I was thinking about sometimes I've seen people kind of almost like demonize the body, like the physical body, where take flesh rather than meaning fallen nature or whatever, but even speak ill of the body and pit kind of body and spirit against each other and to act like to make too little of like the gift of the body that God's given us, essentially.
Sure. Kind of like a Gnostic thing where you separate the spirit spirit and the flesh. Like the spirit's good, but the flesh is weak kind
of
thing. Or?
Yes, which is not as much of a trend these days.
And you can see like fundamental like Christians do that, right? Where they're like what they're able to do, what their liberties allow and what they don't allow has a lot to do with how you view the flesh. Like it's only bad, don't feed it. It's like, well, hang on. Yeah. Like God wants you to enjoy that thing. You
right.
know?
Yeah. Right.
So, even sometimes like extreme asceticism or like.
Yeah. The monks and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes taking that to a level. Try it.
Self-flagellation.
Careful. No. Flagellation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes. Especially throughout Christian history. Sometimes, the body was seen as just a hindrance to our spirit. Our spirit wants to rise to heaven, which is not. Generally wouldn't say is a Christian teaching, more comes in from like Greek thought or whatever. But just the idea that our body needs to be subdued physically in order for our spirit to rise. And
bad. And that's why I think the way we get the definition of the flesh when it's talked about in this context matters. Yes. That it means fallen nature. It doesn't mean that which God created, which is very good, right? It means that which we inherited spiritually, which is bad. Right. Yeah. So
how do we resist the temptations of the flesh?
I think the first thing is recognizing what we've talked about, just recognizing that we do have a fallen nature and recognizing that there is something to be battled there. Like if you don't know that, right, you're not going to resist it. And so recognizing that your flesh has desires that are contrary to the spirit. And so being aware of that and, as we immerse ourselves more and more in God's word, we're going to learn what those desires are and what God's desires are for us. And I think just at least in my own life, kind of the more I grow in my knowledge of God, my desires turn more towards him than towards my flesh.
So I think the number one thing even coming out of, I want to go back and read the rest of that James passage, is the fruits that are produced as a result of that which we're obeying or walking in, right? And so the more you're a Christian, the more you start to recognize what's going to come out of this thing I'm desiring or this thing I'm trying to bring about or whatever. So like in this case, in that text we were in, there was jealousy. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. So even things, when you're acting due to jealousy, or you're acting due to selfish gain, we can know right away that that's not of the spirit, that's of the flesh, right? And then he goes on to say, for where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, and good fruits, impartial, sincere. And so there's like clear, like tangible evidences that come out of, that tell us what it is that we're actually doing or setting out to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, I think it's in Galatians where it talks about like sowing to the spirit and sowing to the flesh. Mm-hmm. And so kind of the idea is like, what are you feeding? I mean, we already touched upon this, but like, are you feeding the flesh? Are you feeding the spirit? And there's a result that's going to come, based on what you're feeding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Romans 8 talks about, not feeding the flesh, but walking in the spirit, and then you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. And practically speaking, that's immersing yourself in what, all the means of grace that God's given us. It's the word, it's the fellowship of, being accountable to other Christians, actually plugging into the church. We've seen this over and over again, the people that kind of go all in their faith and in their walk with God and in the church, they tend to walk a different way than those that pull away.
Sure.
And I know that's true of me as well. So
So when I feel like personally, when I feel really strongly about something, like emotionally strong about something, usually, typically, it's relational or something like that. I have to literally pause, like breathe, and go, why am I feeling this way? Because sometimes it's because of jealousy, and sometimes it's because of an outcome that I want that's a selfish ambition. I need to recognize that up front so that I don't walk in it. And that's part of walking in the Spirit. You know, like those things are there, but if you can stop and you can acknowledge those things, and then you can cease to carry it out or allow it to unfold, that's walking in the Spirit too,
sure.
Right? Putting a stop to it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
A lot of it's just identification of what it is that's going on inside of you and what it's going to produce if you walk through it. You
know? And relying on Christ to help you with that, because you know, I think a lot of times we think, okay, like I can fight this, right? I have the willpower,
right?
You know, to not give into this thing or pursue this thing or whatever it is. But if we could do that, there would be no need for Christ
for
to
sure.
do what he did.
For sure.
And so learning to rely on the Spirit for help when we need it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think a lot of it can kind of be summed up in prayer, but that's a general word that means, you know, not just us asking God for things or saying things or even speaking, but listening, trying to discern, learning wisdom, which comes through the Spirit to be able to discern even my own motivations, like you're talking about. And that's definitely something that seems to come with age in the Christian walk.
Sure.
Not necessarily, maybe age isn't the right word, but
maturity.
Just develops maturity.
Yeah, maturity.
There we go.
Maturity.
Develops over time in the Christian life. If we're seeking it, you know, I think that's something that we have to seek after, essentially, to get it, to try to learn to discern and be self-aware, not just in a general sort of like psychological sense, but also be self-aware in a spiritual sense.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think reorienting our affections is kind of what David was talking about. I think, you know, we've got a corrupt operating system prior to coming to Christ.
Yeah.
It's broken. And then, you know, having, you know, that idea of don't conform to the world any longer, but you know, be, you know, renewed in your mind as far as the way you do things. Part of that just comes from immersing yourself in the Word and
being washed by the Word.
Yeah, being washed by the Word. And all of a sudden, you know, I have new affections, new desires.
Yeah.
I remember that, or even early on when I became a Christian, the stuff that I used to do, it didn't hit the mark anymore. It didn't work. And I had to figure out, okay, what do I do now? And finding those new things and then walking in those things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
See, that's the neat thing about this whole, the progression of this whole chapter in chapter two. Like, even though we're just looking at the first three verses, is that, like, you were bound to these things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not anymore.
Now you're not bound to these things
yeah.
by the grace of God. So, like you said, Chad, it's not that we can clean ourselves up, but we're no longer doomed to have to walk
right.
or obey in this completely. In fact, our desires change because we're born again,
sure.
because something on the inside is actually happening. We have an option now, so we can stop, we can pause,
right.
and we can recognize the difference between the flesh and the Spirit, and then we can
right.
actually counter it. So
we'll even discern that idea that that's death is down that road.
Yes.
I know it. Life is down this road.
Yes.
And then we still, unfortunately, choose wrong.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
which, as I said before, is true.
Yes.
We're simultaneously
yes.
sinner and saint.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I love that we now have the option to walk in a way that pleases God and walk in kind of a worshipful way.
We don't have to do this because we've been shown and something better. Something better has been imparted to us in us. So, it's neat to have options. It's neat to be liberated from having to live to the flesh, according to the flesh.
There's a book I read years ago, and the author's name escapes me at the moment, but the idea of the book is that we are unceasing worshipers. I think the title of the book was Unceasing Worshipers.
Yeah, true that.
And the premise of the book, it's a Romans 1 thing that says that that we're hardwired by God to worship, and so it's not something that we turn on and off.
Right.
You know, we don't turn on, you know, the worship part of our brain on Sunday mornings and turn it off after. Like, we're always directing it somewhere.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And recognizing that I'm directing it, you know, towards something that's going to lead me to death or towards something that's going to lead me to life. And that's the whole problem that Paul talks about in Romans 1, is that we've exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and we've worshiped the creation over and above the Creator. And we do that kind of moment to moment in our lives, right? It's not when I become a Christian, like I only worship God now.
Right.
Like that's the battle is where we're directing our worship.
And the biggest problem, like we've already said, with the flesh is that it's typically centered on us in some way.
Right.
we're the best at unceasingly worshiping us.
Totally.
Right.
That's the funny part to me is that Wow. Slipped an F in there. That was bad. The funny part is that we don't recognize idolatry. Like when I read about idolatry in the Old Testament,
it's a golden
and I
image.
See a golden calf and I'm like, well, right. What? That doesn't do it for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I'm safe.
And so
yeah.
I think, okay, I'm not guilty of idolatry. Exactly. But when you put it the way you just said it, oh, it's me.
All the time.
I'm the one that I've put in God's chair. And
how do you get away from that?
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, there I am. And I love myself.
Right.
By golly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think our churches are filled with people who are there because they want to get better.
Yep.
Right? Maybe they recognize some deficiency in their life. Or even if they don't recognize a full-on deficiency, they see, like, you know, having a spiritual component to my life is going to improve me, and it's right. kind yeah. of a self-help,
right.
yeah. you know, kind of a thing. And just this idea of, you know, directing your worship here or there just kind of, you know, blows that out of the water. Mm-hmm. And back to what we said earlier, just realizing that, like, we're depraved and we're sinful.
Yeah.
And we need external intervention in Christ in order for that problem to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I write a podcast outline, I have this great fear that I have a nightmare the night before where no one says anything to any of my questions. And then, so I write five times as many questions as I need. And then when we show up, everyone talks and I'm like, we're never going to finish this today. So we're going to have to do a part two.
It's almost time to eat.
I know. I might have to come back next week or part two.
We've got a good 20 minutes to go.
Come back next week.
We got a lot to do. Because I want to ask this question.
Who's coming next week?
El Jefe.
Who's that?
Jeff. Never mind.
Yeah. Remember that time
come the week after.
Make him take a knee over there.
Oh, yeah. We could fit a fifth dude in here.
He likes to talk. Okay. So.
Yep.
Okay. This isn't written down, but I got a question. Are Christian disciplines helpful in restraining or resisting the flesh? I guess I'm thinking, like, from experience, have you guys ever, as I guess we have prayer, meditation, fasting, and maybe study?
Labyrinths.
What's labyrinths?
Prayer labyrinths. I'm just kidding.
Is that
I think
a thing?
Of the weird ones.
I never heard
it
of
is.
That.
Never mind.
There's a book. I just read a review of a book, and I can't remember the name of the book, but he listed nine, and I don't remember what all nine of them were.
Is it Don Whitney?
No.
He's the quintessential.
Like Richard Foster had
Kevin
a
DeYoung
celebration of discipline.
A recent book that came out.
The answer is yes, anyway. I think. But I do think for some people, the spiritual discipline, we talked about this a while back, but okay. they're done better as a team. As opposed to individual. So sometimes I think that we think of them, like I'll do these on an individual basis, and you're kind of isolating, and it's more about what you're doing to try to keep these things from happening. And I think when the church does them together, it's possibly more effective for some people, not all people, but I don't know if that makes sense.
Unless you're only meeting once a week.
Correct. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. I think fasting's a tough one. I don't want to get too off track with this
one.
I didn't
mean fasting.
I think about
the other ones.
No one said anything about fasting.
I think about that one because it like
it's almost lunch.
Part of the it is almost, now I'm thinking about food. That's why. But no, part of it is the idea of let me focus and pray and give up this thing in order to spend more right. time with God, which is always, I mean, this right. could be its own thing, but like it's very difficult to actually pull off somehow. We're like, I think.
Sure. Well, those things can also be very self-centered. They don't have to be, but they can. They oftentimes are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get back on track because I don't even want to go down that rabbit trail, I'm realizing. All right. The world. Chad. Just kidding. Okay. Paul says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins in a way in which we walked following the course of this world. What does he mean by the course of this world?
We all have the same problem.
Well, it is directional. Like there is a system to it. There is a flow and a vibe that this world produces as a result of a bunch of individual people walking in the flesh.
Yes.
Corporately.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a momentum to it.
Yeah, so it goes from this isolated, localized individual problem.
Mm-hmm.
To now this corporate collective.
It's a universal
thing
problem.
In which all the godlessness therein contained is louder, right?
There's a synergy to
it. It's stronger, yes.
Well, we often talk about worldview.
The sum is greater than the parts.
Yeah.
So there's a worldview that we have as Christians that's more kingdom-minded. Mm-hmm. The normal worldview that we're born into and have is what we see, you know, basically all around us all the time. And that seems pretty normal to us prior to being born again. So, you know, the brokenness that's here, we don't even recognize as brokenness. We just think it's kind of the normal way to do things.
Right.
So there's then influence. It goes
yeah.
like it goes from really bad to worse. right? When you add this component, because you're already having to deal with yourself and what's going on inside of you. But even if you're aware of that and you're trying to tackle that, then you've got this louder thing, this bigger thing that's surrounding you that you're, I think Vodi Bakum said, like you're hemmed in on all sides, you know, yeah. with this thing that you can't get away from. It's a really loud sermon that's relentless, that's yeah. constantly screaming at you yeah. things that are opposing that which you want to walk in.
Well, actually, and they're opposing the spirit, right. but they're completely right. in tune with what we want to hear in the flesh. Sure. So this idea of you deserve a break today, totally. All these things that are like, yeah, keep telling me that. Yeah. That's what I want to hear. And then you've got peer pressure. You've got all these things around you that are, you know, telling you that you need to do this. You yeah. know, all the movies, yeah. I'm thinking of like most Disney movies in the last year, like all the themes and everything that are in them. They're feeding the flesh yeah. and they're feeding that selfish thing in us.
Yeah. I mean, if you yeah. are trying to walk in the flesh, this is what's so hard for Christians. Like, sometimes you're looking for an attaboy, like some kind of confirmation that you're doing okay or you're thinking okay from something outside of you.
Yeah.
But the only thing outside of you that you're hearing is that you're backwards. Yeah. And you should be doing this other thing over here, you know? Like it's all upside down to you know, according to the spirit. So,
yeah.
I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, the world is big, loud, and directional.
And the influence is yeah. huge. I mean, I think we underestimate, because the funny thing is you can raise your kids. I mean, we homeschooled for a long time.
Yep.
You know, you have this kind of certain way that you're trying to shelter them or shield them from certain things. And it's crazy, the influence of the world. You can't escape it. It will penetrate. It will right. get in. It's just, it's kind of relentless.
It's preaching the loudest sermons.
It is, yeah. yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So and it's all about the flesh.
Yeah. yeah. And it's a real temptation.
Yeah.
Just follow your heart.
I've yeah. thought about
that. That's what I'm thinking of, that stuff.
yeah.
As I was preparing this, I was thinking about parenting a lot, just because I thinking specifically about the world, how much my parents as a kid wanted to protect or shelter me the right amount
yeah.
from the world, right? Because if you do it too much, they don't know what's out there. They kind of flip out when they eventually are confronted by the world. If you shelter them not at all, or you just kind of let the world in, so to speak, then it can influence, sure. you know, quite a bit. But how did you guys, like, balance that?
I didn't.
Yeah, not very well.
That's one of those do-overs I would do
right.
with my parenting. So,
which way?
So I feel like my parents allowed me too much freedom. I feel like there was a lot of ignorance on their end, even though they were careful in ways. But I think there were too many things they didn't pay attention to and think were, like, gonna harm me. And so I swung the other way, and it was the homeschool and protect them from the world. There was a point once the oldest two got into being teenagers where I started to go, oh dang, like there's no wisdom in ignorance. Like there are certain things they need to know so that wisdom can actually exist.
Yeah.
right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But it was too late. It was too late, man. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. Yeah.
I wonder if that's a generational thing too, because I think about, like, when I think back of the things where I go, man, I wish my parents maybe were, like, keeping a closer eye on this or that. Like, the internet happened when I was a kid, so it's like, man, I wish they would have, like, known more of what that was and maybe, like, fenced it a little bit more, you know, and they try, but, like, they don't know. And, like, how could they almost? Right, right. Like, if you didn't, yeah. you know, if you grew up with it. I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, we used to have to sneak out of the house at night to do something risky and sinful as yeah. kids. We had to crawl out the window.
Work at it.
Right? After they went to sleep. Where now it's like, no, the kids can just sit in their room. Like, they don't need to crawl out the window anymore.
Right.
Like, everything's in the window. Everything's in the room already.
Exactly.
And we were having this conversation, me and my parents, the other day. And they're like, really? And it's like, yeah. Like, everything's there. And everything I used to crawl out for is yeah. now there. Like, I don't have to crawl out anymore. Kids don't have to crawl out anymore.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. It's weird.
That's kind of scary.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a thing to overcome, just the trying to teach discernment to someone growing up of the world. What I remember, my dad, we'd go on road trips and we'd listen to, like, I don't know, rock music. He wasn't, the Christian music thing wasn't something he was going to try to teach me or whatever. Right. But at the school I went to, they were, like, really trying to sell us on, like, Christian rap. If you could even call it that, and rock. And it never took with me, because at home it was like, no, we're going to listen to, like, regular music. But, you know, it was good, though, because he did, like, be in the world but not of the world. And I think my parents did a pretty good job with that. But there's a blind spots just generationally. Sure. People don't know, and it's like, man, I wish.
Yeah, and again, explaining the gospel reality of these things to your kids, it's where I messed up. You know, I didn't. It was like, this is all evil and bad, and over here everything is good and, you know, wholesome and right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I didn't get it right.
Yeah.
You know, apart from the grace of God, we're all in the same boat, and there is, you know, our goal in the world is to be redemptive and to, you know, to bring light into the world and stuff like that, not just avoid it and hate those people. And that's kind of more what I kind of taught.
I'm sure every generation has said this, but they're like societal boundaries just get looser and looser all the time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I grew up, like there were, you know, boundaries in society where like things were taboo. Uh-huh. And everybody, almost everybody, like kind of agreed that, you know, certain things are bad. And I'm sure like my parents' generation said the same thing and their parents before them. But it just seems like today, like, nothing's taboo, right?
Agreed.
Nothing's taboo. And so that's just a scary spot to be.
In order to rebel at all, I mean, I grew a mullet and got an earring, and I was, you know, I had a hard edge at that point.
Picks or it didn't happen, I think. You know, it needs to be in the show notes.
Yeah, anyway, mullet. That was rebelling, you know. Now rebelling is, you know.
I wish you had a mullet right now. Yeah,
well, I don't think so.
And an earring.
Anyway, now rebelling because there are no boundaries. There are no, you know, now it's extreme stuff.
I can't hear anything, but I'm just picturing.
just picture it flowing.
Glorious.
Are there pictures of this?
Well, and it was the,
yes.
We could see?
The
party.
Yes,
the
are
party
pictures.
Was in the front and the back.
It wasn't, so Brent was more of like the rooster mullet. It was like the double. So that it like came up like this and then came out like that.
Oh,
it's really good. He'll have to bring pictures.
Yeah. Anyway, that was rebelling then. Now rebelling is stuff like, you know, changing your pronouns and becoming something, you know, entirely different. I mean, it's like we've because everything's okay now, rebellion looks kind of wacky. Mm-hmm. Don't remember where I was going with that.
Yeah, it used to look like a tattoo, and now, like, if you don't have tattoos, that's weird.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like anything, right? They're, like, in extremes, and there's extremes in virtually every doctrine of the Bible. There's harm,
yeah,
right, and this is no exception. Like, if you fall on an extreme with your parenting, the guarding or the looseness of it, like, there's gonna be trouble.
I think maybe even like the idea that there is this narrow path that, as a parent, as an expert on parenting, I would say,
sure.
Well, you did have a bulldog.
He was a terror.
He was horrible, actually.
that translates, yeah.
He chest bumped David one time just to show.
Oh, it was
boss.
More than a chest bump.
It was like prison culture.
Didn't even
house.
Say sorry. Nothing. Nothing.
Kept it moving. Anyway, man, I had something that I thought was pretty good to say. Oh, this idea that there's like this narrow path as a parent where you're like, okay, I don't want to fall into this extreme and I don't want to fall into that extreme. Well, I think there's wisdom in that. Mm-hmm. The idea that you're going to keep your children unstained from the world, or right. that like you're going to prepare them completely is. Literally, I mean, it's unbiblical, that, right. that concept. Also because it's in their flesh. Like, as soon as you
right.
protect them from the world, and all the, like, cults or, like, you know, little communes where it's like, oh, we're going to be safe from the world. It's like, well, the devil's in there and your flesh is in there. Mm-hmm. So even if you completely right. removed yourself from the world, which is not Christ's call to right. us.
So I think we need to talk about this more next time.
Yeah,
I think this component right here of why we need all three of them, we need a proper view of all three of these things, is like a big deal. This is like the Trinity of...
The unholy Trinity.
Well, of anthropology. Like, we need to understand why all three of them are there and what they do and why they're different. But anyway.
As we... At the... Yeah, we'll have to take it up when? 2 weeks?
Well, probably 2 weeks. We'll figure it out. We got cool next week taken.
I think I prepared a bit too many questions, but it's been fun talking to you guys.
Well, it's actually a good topic. I'm glad you brought this topic up and want to talk
actually,
about
we
it.
Can do it next week. It's not a problem. I just...
Yeah. Well, afterward, we have
people
a meeting with
someone
else.
People are going to be on the edge of their seats, their car seats, as they drive around.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, tune in next time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For more.
Cool. You have to be the one praying after that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yep, that works. Yeah. That's awesome.
All right, Lord, thanks for a fun discussion. And Lord, I know there's people probably kind of wondering how this is going to pan out with the rest of the conversation. I pray that that would continue and be helpful. Lord, thank you so much that you have not left this world broken and you've not left us broken, but that you've provided a solution through Jesus that we can now have. A wholeness and a completeness in Him, and a right orientation of who you are and who we are. And I just pray that that would come through, Lord, that people would understand. Yeah, we're broken. Yeah, the world's broken. But you've done everything we need to have life in you, and what a gift that is. So help us to just rejoice in that, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to One Decent Pastor. If you'd like more information about the church, go to our website at thedoor3r.org.